All right, so I will call to order the January 5th, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, can I please have a roll call?
Commissioner Bergsma? Oh, he's on mute.
Here.
Okay, Commissioner Henderson is excused. Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong? Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Okay, the record shows we have a quorum.
Just scraped by with that. All right, so we will now enter into the executive session. The commission members, Mr. Spaeth, Ms. Ancona, and Mr. Joe Andrews will now, if you guys go to that email, it should have a link to the executive session Zoom.
Before we do that, we have to vote to go to executive session.
Oh. All right. Do I need to make a motion?
Someone should, yes.
Chris Beyer.
Okay, can I get a motion to enter into an executive session?
Chris Beyer. I make a motion that we go to an executive session with all the designated individuals that were mentioned.
I'll second that motion.
All right, great. Do we need a roll call vote on that?
That would be best.
All right, Ms. Ancona?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Yes.
Commissioner Posey?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturman?
Yes.
And Chair Gamble?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
All right. So do we log out of this?
Yes.
Yes.
Leave this meeting and then log into the other link.
Okay. All right, I have got 6 o'clock. So I'd like to call to order the January 5th, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, can I please have a roll call vote?
Okay, Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson is excused. Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you'd like to follow along, you're welcome. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic on which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. So thank you for all joining us remotely. I really appreciate it. We've got a lot of participants, a lot of public participants, which I always love. So thank you for taking the time and joining us. I wanted to just give everybody a quick little Zoom overview if you are not familiar with the system. As we go throughout the meeting, there are going to be areas where the public can participate. And to do that, you'll need to, if you're on your computer or if you've logged in through a device, you can click on the participants icon, which will be kind of in the bottom middle of your screen. And when you do that, all of the participants will pop up on a list to your right, and there'll be a little icon at the very bottom with three little dots. And if you click on that, you should have an option to raise your hand. And that, if you click on that, that kind of puts your name at the top of the list and shows a little blue hand by your name. And that is how I will know that you have a question, and then we will get to them in the order that they are received. And if you were calling in from a phone, it looked like we had a couple phone numbers. And if you'd like to participate, to raise your hand from a phone that you've dialed in on, you'll need to press *9. And just like in our regular meetings, if you could tell us your name and whether or not you are a resident of Oro Valley. That would be wonderful. And also, we encourage our public speakers to keep their remarks to 3 minutes. So we'll give you a little bit of a warning if you go over, but we've got a lot of people, so I'm anticipating we'll have a lot of questions, and just to run the meeting as efficiently as possible, we do ask that. So moving on, I would like to open up the call to the audience. And during this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask the town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. So if you wish to address the commission on a matter not on today's agenda, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon on your computer or by pressing *9 on your phone now. And I'll just wait and give everybody a couple seconds here to participate if they'd like. All right, I'm not seeing any raised hands for the call to the audience, so I will close the call to the audience now. I'd like to introduce our Town Council Liaison, Chair Melanie Barrett. And I believe we also had, I did not see any other council members here.
Mr. Bowen's on, Chair Campbell.
Oh, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Bowen. I'm sorry, my list gets really long. I'm having to scroll through, thank you. Oh, and I think Mayor Winfield is also here. So we would like to, I'm pretty sure. Your name doesn't show up. So I have a little bit of trouble figuring out.
Yes, Chair Gamble, he's here.
All right, well, welcome. I'm going to turn the time over now to Vice Mayor Barrett for the council liaison comments.
Yes, thanks. I don't have a bunch of a planning update other than that we heard the Tangerine and First project in our first meeting in December. We had a public hearing on it on December 30th, and we're hearing it again tomorrow night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. We are now going to proceed with our agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read our first agenda item?
Review and approval of the December 1st, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
All right. Could I ask one of the commission members for a motion? Commissioner Bergsma.
Oh, he's muted.
Oh.
Okay. I move to approve the December 1st, 2020 meeting minutes.
All right, and could I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Ms. Ancona, could we get a roll call vote on that?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to our second agenda item. Ms. Ancona, will you please read that for us?
Public hearing, discussion regarding three items related to the proposed annexation and future development of the Westward Look Resort property located at the northwest and northeast corners of Ina Road and Westward Look Road, extending north to the existing Town of Oro Valley's southern boundary. Item A, translational zoning for the entire property from Pima County CR-1 large lot residential to Town of Oro Valley R1-36 large lot residential as required by Arizona Revised Statutes 9-471.L upon annexation of the subject property 2003182. Item B, general plan amendment from low density residential one to neighborhood commercial office for two parcels, 225-50021A and 225-50180, encompassing approximately 4.84 acres, located near the northwest corner of the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection, 2002360. And item C, rezoning from R136, large lot residential, translational zoning to planned area development, PAD, for the entire property, 2002361.
All right, thank you. I'm now going to turn the time over to the town staff for their presentation.
Thank you, Chair Gamble, members of the commission, and thank you, Ms. Ancona, for that mouthful. Apologize for that. My name is Michael Spaeth, and I am the current planning principal planner for the town of Oro Valley and the town's project manager for this case. Our purpose for this item is to consider the several development-related applications that Ms. Ancona referenced associated with the proposed annexation of the Westward Look Resort property located near the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection. The first item, item A in your packet, is the translational zoning for the entire property from Pima County CR1 to Town of Oro Valley R136 zoning as required by state law following annexation. I'll provide more detail later in my presentation about what I mean by that. Item B is a general plan amendment type 2 for the portion of the property near the northwest corner of the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection. The request is to change the land use designation for those two parcels from low density residential 1 to neighborhood commercial office to enable item C. Item C is a rezoning from translational zoning R136 to planned area development, or PAD, for the entire property. The purpose of item C is to apply proper zoning to the open space and resort portions of the property, thereby fixing a number of outstanding zoning discrepancies. It's also to incorporate additional protections for the open space area and establish development potential for the vacant parcels along Ina Road. I will provide more detail on each of these throughout my presentation. Please note that item C requires two public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. With that in mind, tonight's meeting is going to be discussion only. Staff will be providing a formal recommendation during the second public hearing in February. So first, I'd like to take a moment to orient everyone with respect to the subject property. The property is approximately 75 acres in size, located east of the Oracle and Ina Road intersection, adjacent to the town's southern boundary, as shown on the small image on the left and outlined in yellow. It is bounded on the south by Ina Road, extending north on both sides of Westward Look Drive, as shown on the right-hand image. The site is surrounded by unincorporated Pima County, shown in blue, including the Westward Look Guest Ranches, Westward Look Estates, and Catalina Village on the west, and Westward Look Heights on the east. As I stated in my intro, all three applications are a significant component of the proposed annexation of the property. Though the annexation is the purview of town council, I'd like to take a brief moment to provide some background on that request for the commission. The town has an annexation strategy recently adopted by town council, which provides direction regarding future annexations. The strategy identifies a number of potential annexation areas neighboring the town, shown in the map on the screen, categorized from highest priority to lowest. The Westward Look Resort, highlighted with the blue arrow at the bottom of the image, that property is a priority one property, which is the highest priority. The resort represents an opportunity for the town to build upon key goals and policies expressed by Oro Valley residents in the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan. As you can see on the screen, there are a number of goals and policies from the general plan that directly support the proposed annexation. As such, the town has proactively approached the resort to discuss the potential annexation. The town initiated this contact as it has mutual benefit for the property owner as well, including things like increased services, enhanced marketing, among other things. Ultimately, though, because annexation is a property owner-driven process and the resort is the sole property owner, they must find that the annexation benefits them as well. If Westward Look agrees with the proposed annexation, the request will proceed to a public hearing before Town Council for consideration. Town Council has the sole authority to weigh the merits of the proposed annexation, while the Planning and Zoning Commission's role is to review the development-related applications before you this evening. Ultimately, these applications and the annexation application will be on one agenda at one public hearing before Town Council. The zoning code requires tentative development plans with all rezoning applications. As I discussed before, one of the goals of the applicant's requests are to enable future development in the resort gateway areas along Ina Road. With that said, the applicant's proposal includes three concept plans, which were included in your packet, that include a mix of commercial, restaurant, office, and multifamily residential uses. The concepts include a range of building sizes, heights, and setbacks. I will go through these in more detail during my presentation. As we move through my presentation, there are a number of key considerations regarding the applicant's requests that I want to emphasize. Those include that the proposal fixes existing zoning discrepancies on the property, specifically by applying proper zoning to and preserving 100% of the open space area west of Westward Look Drive in perpetuity, the area shown in green on this image. This area is currently zoned under the existing Pima County CR1 zoning for one home per 36,000 square feet, which is in conflict with the private deed restriction for the area. Please note, the private deed restriction agreement between neighbors and the resort is something that the town cannot legally enforce from a zoning perspective. So zoning this area as open space will add another layer of protection for neighbors. The applicant's request will also apply proper zoning to the resort area, shown in yellow, enabling the historical resort as an allowed use. The current zoning is for single-family residential development and does not permit the resort. However, the resort is allowed as it predates the zoning of the property and is considered a legal non-conforming use. The applicant's proposal changes this by applying site-specific development standards that fit what is actually on the ground, making it a permitted use in the PAD. The site also provides over 30% of the entire property as open space, again, including 100% of the area west of Westward Look Drive that's impacted by that deed restriction. It enables future development along Ina Road and provides mitigation measures to help minimize impacts to neighbors, including impacts from traffic and neighborhood compatibility. Again, I will go through each of these during my presentation, but want to make sure these considerations are clear. Let's see. With that said, the first item is, again, item A, the translational zoning. It is an administrative action required by state law that stipulates following annexation of an unincorporated area, the town is required to translate the existing Pima County zoning to the nearest equivalent town zone. The translational zoning cannot take away or grant any new rights, but simply change it to the most equivalent town zoning district. In this case, the existing zoning, again, Pima County CR1, is equivalent to the town zoning R136 zoning district, both of which permit the same number of homes per acre and minimum property size of 36,000 square feet. As you can see in the table on the left, no new rights are being granted as part of item A. Item B is a request to change the general plan land use designation for the portion of the property located near the northwest corner of Ina Road and Westward Look Drive. The request, as shown on the screen, is only for this portion of the property, encompassing approximately 4.84 acres, and is again a request to change from low density residential 1 to neighborhood commercial office. The applicant is requesting to match the existing land use designation for the property immediately east of the subject property, which is appropriate for those located along arterial roads. Again, the purpose of this request is to enable the proposed rezoning in item C, which I'll discuss in more detail shortly. Before I continue with the proposed general plan amendment, I want to provide a little context in regards to the town's existing general plan. The Your Voice, Our Future general plan is a voter-approved policy document that drives town decisions and reflects the community's values. It includes a vision, guiding principles, and goals and policies that guide town decisions, including development-related decisions. Those goals, policies, and actions include everything from the town's economy and services to conservation and land use. The general plan also includes a land use map, which shows the type of land uses the town envisions for any particular property. Property owners have the right to request a general plan land use change to their private property, known as a general plan amendment. The general plan acknowledges that these changes will happen and specifically states that changes will occur during the life of the plan, as shown on this slide, with an intensive public outreach process. All general plan amendments are reviewed for conformance with the general plan amendment criteria, as well as the vision, guiding principles, and goals and policies. Staff also thoroughly reviews how neighbor concerns have been addressed by the applicant as part of their proposal, and that the proposal contributes to the long-term economic stability of the town. I'll discuss the amendment criteria in more detail in the following slides. So, as I stated, the general plan outlines specific amendment criteria that all proposed amendments are evaluated by and must demonstrate conformance with. This criteria provides a tool for the town to judge the merits of a specific amendment request. I'll go through the first and third amendment criteria in the following slides, and we'll cover the second further in the presentation when I discuss the public participation process. The applicant's complete responses to the amendment criteria is in attachment 2 of your packets. So the first criteria is, if on balance, the request is consistent with the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies of the general plan. The applicant is proposing a planned area development that includes the protection of a substantial portion of the site as open space and a range of development concepts that incorporate transitions and buffer yards to surrounding neighbors to minimize potential impacts. Furthermore, the general plan also calls for a diversified and robust economic base to support long-term economic stability. The potential economic benefit of the resort will be beneficial in the form of bed taxes and other commercial-related revenues. Next, the general plan amendment criteria shall not significantly alter the existing development character or land use patterns without adequate buffers and graduated transitions in land use density. The proposal provides graduated building height transitions from the neighboring single-family residential homes and enhanced buffer yards to further reduce potential visual impacts. The concepts concentrate the larger buildings toward the Ina Road and Westward Look Drive intersection, providing increased separation from existing neighbors. Lastly, the PAD requires the architectural design for the site to incorporate the elements that are reflective of the historic nature of the resort. Next, the general plan amendment may not impact existing uses with increased infrastructure without improvements to accommodate the growth. Proposed infrastructure and improvements are able to accommodate the proposed growth. The project will be served by Metro Water, and there is ample sewer capacity. The traffic impact analysis submitted by the applicant has been carefully analyzed by town staff. Our town engineer, Mr. Paul Keister, will provide a summary of that in a coming slide. But born out of that review was the incorporation of a right turn or deceleration lane along Ina Road to help minimize impacts from traffic. The cost of all necessary infrastructure will be borne by the developer, including all necessary utilities. Next, the proposed general plan amendment must also not impact public services. The proposal will not impact public services as Amphitheater School District has indicated they have capacity for the proposed development and recreational amenities will be provided on site. There are no major drainage issues that exist, and the Oro Valley Police Department and Northwest Fire Department have reviewed the proposal as well. Lastly, the general plan amendment request may not impact the natural beauty and environmental resources without suitable mitigation. Again, as mentioned previously, the proposal includes a significant amount of open space, including 100% of the open space west of Westward Look Drive, shown in green on the screen. Further, the applicant has incorporated enhanced buffer yards with continuous tree canopies to further minimize potential impacts to neighbors. I'll now discuss the third amendment criteria related to how the proposal supports the economic stability of the town. The applicant's request is to, again, match the existing general plan land use designation of the property immediately east on the northeast corner of Ina Road and Westward Look Drive. The overall annexation request will add another resort destination to the town that will serve as a new source of revenue in the form of hotel bed taxes for the community. A fiscal analysis was conducted for the project that determined the resort will generate an additional $916,000 on an annual basis. Lastly, the request will enable the rezoning in item C to permit future commercial uses that will serve as new sales tax sources, again, contributing to the long-term economic stability of the town. The aforementioned fiscal analysis determined this future commercial development could generate between $61,000 and $562,000 on an annual basis, depending on the ultimate build-out. Now for item C, which again is a request to change the translational zoning of R136, if it's ultimately approved as part of item A, to planned area development or PAD. As mentioned previously, the proposed rezoning fixes existing zoning discrepancies on the property, including designating the open space area as open space, as opposed to the existing Pima County CR1 designation, and applying proper zoning to the resort area, enabling the historic resort as a permitted use. It also provides a substantial amount of open space, as discussed, enables future development along Ina Road, and provides mitigation measures to help minimize impacts to neighbors. The planned area development will have three distinct areas, as shown in the image on the right. The first is the open space area shown in green, the resort in yellow, and then the resort gateway areas shown in pink fronting on Ina Road. As discussed earlier, tenant rezoning applications require tentative development plans. They are reviewed for code conformance, and all future development will have to be in substantial conformance with any approved designs, with these approved designs, excuse me, if they're approved. The applicant has provided three separate concepts with a mix of uses. On the screen is concept A, which depicts a boutique retail slash restaurant concept on the northwest corner of Ina Road and Westward Look Drive, that area known as Resort Gateway West. That concept proposes approximately 30,000 gross square feet in size, with a maximum building height of 34 feet or two stories. On the east side in Resort Gateway East, the concept depicts an approximately 184 unit multifamily residential development with a mix of 2 and 3 story buildings with max building heights of 40 feet and 34 feet. Building heights are restricted to 34 within 85 feet of neighboring residential, which means the taller buildings will be more concentrated toward the intersection highlighted in yellow. Please note, as indicated in the staff report, discussions are ongoing with the applicant regarding the 34-foot building height along the eastern edge of Resort Gateway East, regarding whether or not that height should be reduced. With regard to concept B, it depicts an office slash retail concept on the Resort Gateway West side with approximately 35,000 square feet of gross floor area proposed, and again, with maximum building heights of 34 feet and 2 stories. On the east side, concept B depicts a mixed-use development with a range of commercial, restaurant, hotel, and office uses. The commercial area is conceptually about 76,000 square feet in size, and the hotel is approximately 50,000 square feet in size. Again, the development includes a mix of 2 and 3 story buildings with the maximum building height of 40 feet and 34 feet. Building heights are again restricted to the lower 34 number within 85 feet of neighboring residential, which means the taller buildings will again be more concentrated toward the intersection, providing additional separation from neighbors. Concept C depicts a 34-unit residential villa or townhome concept on the Resort Gateway West side with a maximum building height of 34 feet or 2 stories. On the east side, the concept depicts a luxury apartment or hotel option. The apartments include approximately 250 units, while the hotel could be up to approximately 400,000 square feet, again, with a mix of 2 and 3 story buildings with maximum building heights of 40 feet and 34 feet. This concept similarly has the building height restriction of 34 feet when within 85 feet of neighboring residential. Again, concentrating that taller building further away from existing residences east of the property. So all three concepts, though they vary, they do have, they do incorporate a number of common elements, and I'm going to walk through those very briefly. Those include that each one involves a mix of commercial and residential. No individual concept is all residential. Each of them have some proportion of commercial. Again, the tallest buildings are primarily located near the intersection, away from neighbors. As discussed before, the building height transitions are incorporated near the residential along the east side of the property. In this area, staff is still continuing to have discussions with the applicant about whether or not a lower building height would be more appropriate in that area. Also in that area, enhanced buffer yards with that continuous tree canopy are incorporated to help minimize any potential impacts from views. The wash running through the properties, indicated with the purple stars, is also being preserved on all three concepts with appropriate setbacks to maintain the integrity of the riparian or wash areas. As I mentioned earlier, the traffic impact analysis identified that a right turn deceleration lane needs to be incorporated along Ina Road to help minimize traffic impacts generated by the development. That, again, is incorporated on all three concepts. Those of you familiar with the property are familiar with the stables that have been out there for a number of years. All three concepts propose to move those stables closer to the resort and further from most neighbors, again, highlighted in the black circle on the screen. And then lastly, sidewalks throughout the project are provided, including connections down to Ina Road. Traffic has been a frequent concern for neighbors that we heard during the neighborhood meeting process. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Paul Kiesler, the town engineer, to address some of those concerns. Mr. Kiesler, let me see if I can turn it on. Oh, there you go. Good to go. Mr. Kiesler, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spade. So, Commission, thank you for giving me this opportunity to present some of the traffic concerns that were expressed throughout the neighborhood meetings. I think Mr. Spate did a good job on touching on the traffic mitigation measures that were incorporated with the study, the traffic impact study. So I really want to base or stay on these three main areas. The residents in the area were concerned with, of course, congestion on Ina Road, safety, and then the neighborhood just to the east was also concerned with regard to the ability to travel east from Sonya Way. So, as Mr. Spaeth mentioned, the applicant did do a traffic impact study. It was completed within the study. What was highlighted was that the proposed illustrative plan B was the arrangement that created the most traffic impact. So for tonight's comments and the numbers that you see on this slide, I've used that as the basis for the most conservative approach to look at the total traffic impact. The other thing that I wanted to mention too is that if any of you have taken the time to read the traffic impact statement, which I know is full of technical jargon, you may notice some of the numbers on this slide are a little different, particularly in the background traffic, than what's in the report. And that's because I've taken a more conservative approach than the report to complete our analysis. And we're using numbers generated by the Regional Transportation Authority and the Pima Association of Governments for a projected year of 2040. That's in that's a transportation baseline that we look for future projects. So really, I'll make this quick. I'm free for questions later on. Congestion on Ina Road. If you look at the current traffic that's on Ina Road, it is operating at about 60% capacity. That's saturation capacity. That's a number that's been studied by the FHWA. And that's where at 100% capacity, anything beyond that, traffic starts to not free flow on a suburban 45 mile an hour road. So currently operating at about 60% without the project, and this is with the 2040 numbers. If the project were approved and it were built, that number would go up to about 64% capacity. So this project is adding, and at its most conservative, illustrative plan B, is adding about a 4% increase to the amount of traffic that Ina Road can handle. The other portion, or the other thing that I wanted to mention with regard to congestion, is that the recommendation from the traffic impact study, as well as my own as your town engineer, is to not change the cycle length on the light on Ina Road to allow the maximum amount of free flow traffic on Ina. What this does is it creates a level of service D and ultimately later on in level of service F for southbound traffic leaving the resort area. That's okay. Generally, we like to refrain from anything below a level of service C, but because this is indeed a signalized intersection, all that level of service D or level of service F means is a longer wait time at the light that does not have a safety impact. If this were a stopped intersection, that'd be a completely different story. But because it is signal control, that is an acceptable level of service. Next, I want to talk about safety. And again, Mr. Spaeth did touch on this. The traffic mitigation measures were that for the eastern portion of the project, a right turn lane was warranted. And this was because the traffic volume was great enough to pull that traffic off Vina Road before it starts to actually slow down to make the turn into the eastern portion of the development. And I already touched on the level of service A. The third thing that I heard in the neighborhood meetings was from the neighborhood directly to the east of the proposed project. And that was their ability to make a U-turn and head east on Ina Road. They were concerned that the project was going to create more traffic, more congestion, and make it even harder for them in the morning to make that left turn. Well, the project doesn't really add that much more traffic. It's already difficult. However, just west of the intersection of Westward Look and Ina Road is a street called, I may butcher this, Firenez Drive, and it does have a break in the median. It has the ability to make a U-turn there. So really, those are the points I wanted to touch on. I'll be here throughout the meeting and welcome any questions the commission or the public has. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kiesler. With that said, the project has had an extensive public outreach process, which I know a number of you attended, so thank you. We did have one informational video was created to introduce the project to neighbors and answer some preliminary questions. Following the release of that video, two neighborhood meetings were conducted online that were both well attended. Neighbors provided a number of comments and concerns that included preservation of the open space area, neighborhood compatibility and compatibility with the surrounding area, traffic safety, light pollution, impacts to property values in the area, as well as the overall economic benefit of the proposal. The applicant has revised the plans to address a number of these concerns and is continuing to meet with neighbors to try and find consensus on the remaining issues. Summaries of the neighborhood meetings and correspondence received from neighbors has also been included in your packets. So in summary, tonight we have considered three land use related applications that are again key components of the associated annexation proposal. Item A, the translational zoning from Pima County CR1 to town zoning R136 is required by state law following annexation. Again, no new rights were taken or were given, granted, or taken away as part of that proposal. Item B, the general plan amendment, is only applicable to the approximately 4.8 acre portion shown on screen as Resort Gateway West near the northwest corner of Ina Road and Westward Look Drive. All other general plan land use designations on the property will remain the same. And then item C, the rezoning, again remedies existing zoning discrepancies on the site and enables future development for the vacant parcels on Ina Road that does incorporate mitigation measures to minimize potential impacts to neighbors. That proposal also represents an economic benefit to the larger community. All three requests are in conformance with the applicable general plan and zoning requirements. And as a reminder, item C requires two public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission, so tonight's meeting is for discussion only. Staff again will be providing a formal recommendation during the second public hearing in February. Thank you, Chair Gamble. That concludes my presentation, and the applicant is here with a presentation as well.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Spaeth. I will now turn the time over to the Planning Center. Hello.
Hi.
All right. I can hear you, and you can go ahead with your presentation.
Okay. Michael or whoever's running things, can you pull up my PowerPoint, please? And while they're doing that, I'll go ahead and get started. Good evening. I'm Linda Morales, and I'm with the Planning Center, which is a local land planning and design firm here in Tucson. And I am joined tonight virtually by Andrew Stegan, who is the general manager of the West Ward Look, as well as Chris Laria, who is with my office. He's project manager on this project and working with me closely on it. So those are my team here tonight. We are thrilled to be here to talk about the potential annexation and the associated general plan and PAD. Westward Look, the quick history of this is Westward Look was approached by the town even before I was involved and before the Planning Center was involved in the project. The town had approached Westward Look at the because they were excited about the prospect of having a second resort in the town. And it also makes a connection in planned areas that the town has identified for potential annexation for quite some time. And that reflects in the fact that it is already actually in the town's general plan. So so this is something there have been previous efforts to, what happened to my camera? Oops, I lost my camera, sorry. There have been previous efforts in the past prior to this ownership that have failed to annex. So we are really hopeful that we can get across the finish line this time and really become an asset to and a partner with the town of Moro Valley. So the resort is owned by a gentleman named Dr. Kieran Patel, and he is in partnership with Wyndham. Running this, and Andrew again is his general manager. Andrew's been with the resort for about 4 years, I believe, and Dr. Patel's actually owned it since 2012. But the resort was originally built in 1912, and it was a dude ranch for the Watson family. And if you visit there, you'll see all kinds of historic pictures that have gone up around the resort that show the history of the site. It's really fascinating. It's existed and continuously operated in some fashion as a dude ranch or guest resort. It kind of morphed into more of a guest ranch and a resort property in the middle part of the century, and has, you know, over the years welcomed visitors and locals, and has had lots of celebrities like John Wayne and Dean Martin and John McEnroe and famous people like that over the years. So rich, rich history, and we're really excited to continue with that history. One of the significant things that has happened since Dr. Patel has taken over in the last couple of years, they started a major renovation project to really bring the resort back to that 4+ star resort property. And so if you've visited lately, you'll see some of the changes outward and inside the buildings. And they're just about to wrap that up. So really proud of that. And, you know, that kind of sets the stage for the future of that, the quality. And just wanted to emphasize over and over again, as we have in all of our public meetings, that it's super important that whatever we do on the rest of the site is reflective of that heritage, that history. Westward Look really has two principles. It's wellness and the history and the cultural history of the site. So we want to keep reflecting that and make sure that that whatever we do enhances that, supports that, and continues the success of the resort. And so that was the my charge as the planner when I was brought on as part of the team. Our charge is the Planning Center to continue that and to develop some plans. In all of our meetings and our presentations, if you have a chance to look at video or watch any of the other meetings, you'll see, you'll know that we have all along said this is super important, that we keep the quality and we keep it consistent, we keep it supporting the resort. But we've also said, and again, it's absolutely the case, we don't have a developer waiting in the wings. This whole process was initiated by that contact on the annexation for the town. That's why we're here today. We don't have any imminent plans to develop. This is a long-term plan that will take us into the future of the resort. So this is setting the stage for future development. It may happen sooner, it may happen later, but at this point, Dr. Patel would like to remain involved. He feels strongly that this is a project he would like to either take on himself or in partnership or a joint venture with a developer or developers to again make this a cohesive project that complements the resort. So again, this annexation is dependent upon the two concurrent processes, that minor general plan amendment for that 4.5 acres, the site, as well as, the rezoning of the property to the planned area development zone. And, in talking with staff when we first started talking about the zoning on the property, we agreed that the planned area development is really the best mechanism. And that's part of it. Again, Westward Look's been operating in the county continuously since the early, the turn of the century, of the last century, of the 1900s. So it predates zoning. It was around before Pima County ever had a zoning code, which I believe was adopted in about 1952. So it's operating as a legal non-conforming use under that CR1 zone, under the large lot, the one house per 36,000 square feet. That's the zoning of the whole property. And so it's just never been adjusted because it's always been able to develop under that. As we bring it into the town, we want to make sure that the zoning is reflective of that. And so when you look at, if you want to go ahead and go to the next slide, whoever's controlling that, that's how we really organized our master plan around three different types of development. So the area you see in yellow is the area that is currently the resort. It is the development standards that we have put together in the PAD basically reflect what's there today. We do have a few provisions where there might be a few areas where we could maybe do a little tiny bit of expansion, but it pretty much fills that property. So what you see is more or less what you get. The heights reflect the heights that are there. I believe the Starlight Ballroom is the highest building on the site, and everything else is built into the hills, so it kind of ebbs and flows and really fits the topography well. And it's, again, the zoning we're proposing is really to retrofit back to that resort. The area across Westward Look Drive to the west, that is an area that has had some history on it. I think you'll probably hear from some neighbors that there, and I'm sure you've heard if you've listened to previous presentations, there's some history of that. There was a lawsuit that predates all of us, not at least all of us on the development team, that started back in the 70s that required that to be open space. We are absolutely honoring that that agreement or that settlement or whatever happened back in those days, as leaving that as open space. Right now, this site is used for walking trails and for horseback rides. They do have the stables, which I'm sure you've seen down toward Ina Road right now. The trail rides do go and meander through that open space area. The Costas de Dobis Wash, a tributary of the Costas de Dobis Wash, actually runs through that site. And it's got some pretty rich flora and fauna, and it's a great asset to the resort to have that for its visitors to keep with the desert feel and to have that place for them to kind of roam around. And so that is what we're proposing there, nothing else. The existing CR1 zoning would allow the development of it for large lots. The deed restriction is a private thing between property owners. But again, we want to solidify that in the zoning to say no development at all. And actually, we're going to restrict it even more because the previous agreement would have allowed for golf course use or golf use in there. We are not proposing any of that. Again, just passive recreation, no structures would be allowed. And then you get down to the part that I think we're really excited about the future of and how that can contribute to the resort as well as to town residents as a whole. And that is the area that we've deemed that are called the Resort Gateway, the area in pink along Ina Road. And as you know, Ina Road is a super busy thoroughfare. Lots of traffic goes through there. It's really a place that we feel is appropriate for a little more of an intense use than what's currently there now. Certainly isn't something that we see as being a viable large lot development area. So we're proposing some alternatives to really guide the future use of that and to give the owner and future developers the options to kind of mix and match some different uses, because we don't have right now anyone lined up with a very specific development plan. So it made it a really fun exercise for us as planners to get creative and start looking at some different ideas of what we could do. It made it harder for us because we didn't have specific direction. So we developed these visions. And if we go to the next slide. Oh, before we do that, I'm sorry. There are two significant washes that run through. I pointed out during the discussion about the open space, the Custis Adobes tributary. There's also an unnamed wash that runs through the site, and you see that runs kind of south of the resort, cuts through Resort Gateway East and toward the back of the Resort Gateway West. Both of those you'll see on all of our options will be retained as open space. Obviously, the Custis Adobes tributary is in our open space area, but all options do maintain that other wash that runs through the site that, again, can be used for walking opportunities, for nature opportunities, and for that connection for both resort visitors as well as people that live in the area. People walk that now, and that would remain as an open area for people to enjoy. So I'm sorry, let's go on to the next slide. So this is one of the three different options that we have put out there as potential development areas. And again, Michael went through these before, so I'm not going to belabor them too much. But I just wanted to point out again that all of the options do maintain that equestrian use, but we have moved them from basically what is currently. It's in the center of the Resort Gateway East, the east side of West Warwick Drive, about the center of that property. Move those all up to the north side of that wash. So those would go up where they're closer to the resort. They're kind of, they have a visual connection to the resort and brings those up and allows the southern part of the site, the part closer to Ina Road, to be redeveloped with other uses. This particular option shows a luxury apartment complex. We're kind of comparing that to something like the Villas at San Dorado for an example of apartments similar in quality and similar in nature to what we're envisioning. One of the things that actually doesn't show well on here, but it shows on your version, if you look at the one with all the notes on it on the PAD, we cleaned up some of the notes on here just for ease of viewing. But we have also added the potential for ground level commercial along West Warwick Drive. So these could be not just apartment buildings, but also mixed use where it has access directly to West Warwick Drive. So the three buildings that you see along West Warwick Drive, the east side of West Warwick Drive, as well as the building at the corner along Ina, those could all have some ground level retail in those two to kind of bring that retail use in. In all options, as you're looking at these, know that we've agreed that none of these can we exceed 25% of the whole 75 acres to be residential. It can't go. We basically, what that means is we would have to at least have a significant portion of this to go something other than residential. It couldn't just go and develop all out as apartments, couldn't just go with the whole thing of Resort Gateway as residential. So in all of these, we do need to have a commercial component or an office or non-residential component. So that's where the boutique retail comes in on the west side. We do have that. It's modeled after This particular one, we kind of modeled after Broadway Village. It's kind of that same size, Broadway Village of Broadway and Campbell in Tucson. That's, again, this would be new development, but kind of reflect that historic nature, like they have at Broadway Village, which is true historic. Give us a mix of outdoor space, a place for people to have patio dining, retail, different office uses perhaps mixed into those, especially those buildings that you see along the west. In all cases, and I'll just tell, as we have this one up, I'll talk about some of the transitions because they're similar in all, the transitions to neighbors are identical in all of these options as far as landscape borders. The black line that you see around the back of the boutique retail in the west side of the boutique retail depicts a 40-foot natural setback. Well, thank you for whoever's controlling my thing there, my cursor. The wash does run through there, which provides a really nice boundary or a nice transition to the neighbors behind there. And then it has the 40-foot landscape buffer. And then we do have are proposing a 6-foot masonry wall along that area where the wash does cut in. That would come in as well, so we wouldn't be putting a wall or development within the wash. And then if you go to the east side where we're abutting neighbors in the westward look heights, that border is, there's a TEP easement, existing above ground power line easement. And that is 30 feet. And then we are proposing an additional 10 to 20 feet on the inside of that. And within that, at least 20 feet of that landscape needs to be a continuous tree canopy. And I have some later on in the presentation, I have some cross sections that show those. But I just wanted to point that out on here because you're going to see that as you go through the other two options. And then I'll go back to some of the changes that we've made along the way and kind of after we get done as well. Let's go on to the next one, the next concept. Okay, so this one is probably the most mixed use, if you will, of the three different ones, three alternatives that we have. This has sort of a little bit of everything in it. Again, north of the wash, you see that different layout, but still the intent of having the stables and the resort-related recreation. But on the resort gateway east, this is where you see a little, maybe larger scale than the Broadway Village type that you saw in the previous concept on the east side. But this is more like, we're seeing this as a similar development to St. Philip's Plaza, the one at River and Campbell, that has the same kind of mixed uses. So we've got in here mixed-use commercial that, again, could have office in it. It could have the banking use. It could have the restaurant use. It could have the retail use all within that mixed use, all oriented around a plaza. So, again, especially post-pandemic or during the pandemic and post-pandemic, we've seen such an emphasis on trying to get people outside, and we really think that it's, and celebrating our climate most of the year when it's not terribly hot, it's so nice to have that outdoor space. So it's all kind of trying to orient it around those outdoor spaces. We also have an extra restaurant pad toward the back, and then up in the northeast corner, you see that we've transitioned to more of a mixed use, more heavy on the office casino type of development where people could have their individual offices and a condo style or however the ownership ends up. But that's kind of the idea up in that corner. And then on the north or the southeast corner, we do have hospitality labeled there. And that is intended to actually be a hotel use, more of a traveler's accommodation and something that doesn't directly compete with Westward Look and actually would enhance the ability. Big tennis tournaments, and you know, intend to do that once we get back to more normal times, pandemic, and just larger weddings, events,
If we just pause for a sec.
Sorry. No. I'm so sorry. You're cutting in and out.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. And then I think people are having a hard time hearing. Okay. Mr. Spieth, what's the best way to remedy that?
Ms. Morales, is your speaker maybe?
It's not like my internet's cutting out. It's just maybe my...
You went, your volume just went way down, and then it was kind of cutting in and out.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just try to talk louder then.
Oh, it's kind of, yeah, it is cutting in and out, though.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
Oh.
I can try to log off and log back in.
I was going to say, the only thing I've ever tried is to log off and log back in.
I'm so sorry. It's been a constant struggle with my internet in my house, so let me try it one more time, or let me try it right back in.
Maybe Chair Gamble, did you maybe want to call up like a 5-minute recess to give Ms. Morales an opportunity to come back in?
Yes, let's do that. Let's recess about 5 minutes to give you a chance to log out. That's the magical IT fix for almost all problems, so fingers crossed.
All right, everyone say a prayer to the internet gods that it works. I'll be right back.
All right, thank you.
I apologize. Thanks.
So, Chair Gamble, I may just recommend if you'd like to maybe just tell folks that we'll start back up at about 7:10 or something. So if they need to go to the bathroom or whatever, you know, just so folks know.
All right. Well, I think everybody probably heard you. So if we all want to do a 5-minute bathroom break, get a snack, get some water, get a drink. And then I can see from the Zoom group chat that other people kind of thought she went out around when she started explaining hospitality or the hotel. So I'll have her start back at that point at 7:10.
Okay, thank you, Chair Gamble. Sorry for the interruption.
No, that's fine, thank you.
I am back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay, we told everybody we'll hold off until about 7:10. So, and I guess the feedback we got, Ms. Morales, was that right when you started talking about the hospitality hotel was when you kind of started cutting out. So if you want
got
to pick
that,
up there,
yeah.
Great.
Okay, I'll start back from that then when we get back going again.
Okay, thank you. Glad it worked.
Sorry. Gave me a chance to get a drink of water or tea.
All right, I've got 7:10, so I think we're all ready to resume. I think you kind of cut out when you started talking about the hospitality and the hotel. Yes.
Okay, I'll pick that right back up there. I don't think y'all missed too much. So the use over with the hospitality, we are proposing a limited use, sort of a traveler's type of lodging. At first, it might seem a bit counterintuitive why a resort that offers hotel rooms would actually be proposing an additional hotel, but it's strategic in that the resort has one of their things that they've done during their renovation is to fix up their tennis courts and really make it a competitive venue, and have had the opportunity to host some tennis tournaments. They also have the opportunity to host larger weddings or conferences where maybe they don't have quite enough rooms for everyone. So that this would allow for the overflow from those events where they don't have to divert travelers or their customers over to different hotels in the area. So that that's sort of the idea behind that and how it would complement and support the resort and their ability to do larger events and different types of events. So that is the idea of that hotel. So again, sort of limited service travel hotel. And so then on the west side, this is where instead of the really retail-oriented, we've kind of flipped that and made this more of an office with the opportunity to have retail mixed use as well in that. And they're a little larger, massive buildings, but we, in exchange for that larger, massive buildings, we've moved them up toward Ina Road. So they're further back away from the neighbors to the north and kind of concentrated them along Ina Road. So that is in a nutshell. Concept B, and we'll go on to concept C. I want to move over to that. Oh, and the Sam Hughes Place, which is at the corner of 6th and Campbell in Tucson, is kind of a model for that. If you want to see what an office that would have maybe some retail in that, that actually has residential in it as well, the Sam Hughes Place does. But we're just proposing on this one office retail. Sorry, concept three. So this is a little bit of a different take on everything. This is definitely leaning more toward the residential aspect of things. On the resort east side, we have this. This is an apartment complex, again, but a more of a single or a series of closer-knit buildings and more focused on the middle of the site rather than the traditional concept A type of individual buildings sprinkled throughout the site. But the other thing that doesn't actually show on this, and we're missing a label, my apologies, didn't catch that before, is we're also putting this in as a potential hotel use as well. We've kind of gone back and forth on that. Our very first concept showed a convention hotel. Again, with that same concept of enhancing the hospitality opportunities for the Westward Look resort itself, we had proposed that. There was some concerns that that might be a little too intense and that there might be bringing too many people into the area that we heard at our first neighborhood meeting, concerned about conventioners being, you know, disruptive or, you know, causing issues. So we've kind of dropped that, but we still think that there's an opportunity for a part of this, if not all of this, to become a hotel. Again, this is a very heavy on residential. You probably would not see this type of all residential. And you wouldn't be able to see that because we have that restriction in there that we have to have a portion of it that would be either office or non-residential uses. So that is the concept on that side. Again, a different layout, but the resort recreation stables area to the north of the Wash, just like on all the other concepts. And then on the west side, this is more of the casita style development that's very popular right now. Summer owner-occupied townhome type of developments. Some are rental, like single-owner rental type of casitas. But that's kind of the idea here, one or one and two-story residential use that's a different mix of use. It's not the large lot that you have to the north. It's not the traditional single-family, but it's an alternative that's a nice move-down a lot of times for people that maybe don't want the big house anymore, but want to still be in the area, want to still enjoy the resort, want to still enjoy the amenities in the area. It also provides an option for people that maybe are seasonal or that don't want to have the upkeep of a large lot or a large home. So that's the idea behind that use. Miramonte the River is a project that we did several years ago that's developed out very nicely. That's kind of something we modeled this layout after, if you get a chance to maybe look at that. Again, and then the apartments, is we had the Hacienda at the Canyons as an example. That's more of a cohesive building rather than this individual smaller number of units per building kind of layout. So those are our three concept plans. Again, they mixed and matched and moved around a bit, so it might not look exactly like this, but we wanted to lay out the kind of universe of possible developments and possible layouts that could go in here. Michael touched on the interaction that we've had with the public so far. And yes, we did have the two Zoom meetings as well as the intro video. But we have also had, Andrew and I have had many, many individual meetings, conversations, phone conversations, email. People have gone up to the resort and met directly with Mr. Stegan. So we've had a lot of really good input from people and a lot of good discussions. And the other group of people that we've met with, in addition to those general public meetings, is the neighbors that live directly to the east. And we've met twice with them. Once we were able to meet in person when the virus wasn't quite so bad, for the end of the summer, we met up at the resort. And then we had a Zoom meeting last month where we talked more specifically about the transition from their houses to each of these three concepts. So, we estimate we've probably had 35 to 40 different phone calls, meetings, emails, and individual meetings that, in addition to the official meetings that we've held with the town. Again, I think Michael kind of summarized the issues. So I'll just I'd like to go through and talk about how we've addressed each one of those as the concepts have kind of emerged and changed. And I think, one of the biggest concerns that we heard very early, and I don't think I've heard that much recently, but there was a concern that this was a larger annexation effort that was intended to bring in other properties. Westward Looks property is the only property in this annexation district. We're not proposing to bring anyone else in. Just want to make sure that was abundantly clear. Traffic was a concern. Mr. Kiesler did a much better job of describing the traffic situation than I ever could. And there's the traffic report. But yeah, we got that done early on so that we could know what each of these concepts, and we really modeled it on, like you said, on the most conservative, on the most traffic impacting type uses, so that we would know kind of worst case scenario and what we would need to do. Again, the decel lane is going to be key coming off Ina. The traffic is fast there. There's a lot of cars going through there. So getting people to be able to pull in as they're coming into the resort is really important. There's already a decel lane coming into the main resort, but each of these driveways would need one as well coming in. The other thing traffic related that we have done is some of the earlier concepts, we had driveways that were further up Westward Look Drive, further north toward the resort. And in talking to some of the neighbors that live along Westward Look, they were really concerned about having those cars turning, the potential lights coming into their house, and just the extra activity, vehicular activity. So we have, on all three concepts, moved that down toward Ina Road. So all of the access for each of the concepts, east and west of Westward Look Drive, all is closer to Ina with enough stacking that we're not creating a traffic problem stacking it up back into Ina, but also bringing it away from those neighbors to the north. With the concern, there's a concern about the impact on property values. And just want to reiterate that it is imperative to Westward Look that whatever we do supports them and supports that four-star plus resort, supports the success of that. And by virtue of that, that's going to drive the quality. It's going to drive the look, the feel, the types of uses that we're going to attract that will also support the property values around with the rest of the residents as well. So we're looking, we do not want to do anything that's going to devalue the resort, and certainly don't want to devalue any of the surrounding residences as well. Again, I touched briefly on the settlement agreement for the open space. We are locking that down in zoning. That follows the property. It doesn't follow the property owner. It follows the zoning would be on that property, and it would be enforced by the town. So that is key. Where a deed restriction is enforced between individual parties, and the only recourse really for somebody who violates that would be for someone else to sue or to bring on a lawsuit against that. If we tried, which we're not, with no intention of, but if we tried to pull a permit or do something in that open space with the PAD zoning in place of open space, we would be denied. That would be stopped. Town staff would be able to do that. If we tried to do something without a permit, it would be a zoning violation. So it's absolutely enforceable 100% by the town. The only way that it could ever change is if we went back through this process and, the town, the planning commission would hear it again. We could go through neighborhood meetings. We'd go through all this process again, and the council would have to approve that. So I just want to really put it on there that there is no intent of doing that. There's no bait and switch there. And we want to say here and now that we intend to honor that commitment. We have no intention of ever coming back and doing anything different on that site. It's important to the resort, and it's important to a commitment that we're making in perpetuity on that property. So the other concerns, again, were wildlife, how we're maintaining that. And I pointed that out on the overall map where you can see it a little bit better. But the major wash that goes through is that Casa Sedobis tributary. That may be maintained just as it is now. Nothing will change on that. Right now, and then on the south, on that unnamed wash, every concept, as you see, has that one running through as open space too. It's been pretty disturbed in places along the way, just by human activity and things that have happened on the site. If there's some restoration that needs to be happened in some areas, that's something we can look at, but maintaining that as open space is critical. It provides that transition between the uses and the resort. It provides the recreational open space and walking opportunities through that, and it provides that wildlife connectivity and habitat. It does go up through, it goes up through private property north of us and south of us, and southwest of us, but it would still remains open space on our site. Let's see. And then the other major thing was the privacy, building heights, views, view corridors. And if we could go to concept A, that is probably the one that has had the most attention on it for backwards the other way. Everybody can still hear me all right? We're good? Okay, good. I'm getting paranoid. I switched to my 5G, so, or not 5G or 5, whatever it is on my internet. So hopefully it'll be good. Okay, so as I pointed out, we do have that buffer. And that buffer is consistent no matter what use that we would provide. And so we have, again, the 40 feet all around where we had but existing residential properties. On the east, we have the TEB easement. Unfortunately on that, we can't plant trees under the power lines. We can't, even if we do underground it, which we've talked about, and we think would be a great thing to be able to do once the site develops, to take those wires underground. We still can't plant deep-rooted plants over a power line, and there's actually some other easements through there, some of the utilities that run through there. So So what we're proposing to do is to hydroseed that, to put some shrubs and things that are acceptable plants that could still go under the power lines and not have deep roots and roots that would cause any problems with anything underground in that 30 feet. Toward the west side of that 30 feet and on into the landscape buffer that we're proposing, we're proposing a, again, a continuous tree canopy. So the a row of trees where most landscape buffers have, you know, X number of trees per square feet or per linear foot. We're proposing that obviously not day one, it's going to take a little while for those trees to grow up, but canopy to canopy where it does connect those branches so that we have that continuous canopy with some undergrowth underneath of it and undercover in a landscape border that's 20 feet wide for that. So if we can just go ahead and go on to two more slides ahead, I can kind of show you. I have some cross sections. So these are also in the PID document if you want to go back and reference them between now and the next meeting. But the first cross section on the top shows that it shows the east, that's the eastern property boundary line, our eastern boundary, the western boundary or westward look heights. Where that shows a 30-foot TEP easement. And then we said we'd have the 40 to 50-foot natural landscape buffer with at least 20 feet of that to, or total, 40, 50 feet total. At least 20 feet of that west side has to be that continuous tree canopy with trees, shrubs. And then on the inside of that would be a 6-foot decorative masonry wall. And so that is the buffer that we're proposing on the east side. On the west side, you can see it's fairly similar to that, but we don't have the power easement. So that, and again, remember there's a wash that runs through that. So in many areas, it's a lot wider than that. This is the minimum. So you see the existing wash on the left-hand side of that boundary, you see the property boundary. You see in some places the wash continues. In some places it's not washed and then we'll have a landscape border. Again, natural, there's quite a bit of vegetation in some areas where there's not, we'll go back in and enhance that. And then again, the 6-foot decorative masonry wall. So that gives you an idea of how we've increased those. The first go around when we started on this, we just had on the east side, just the landscape border of the 30 feet and then some building setbacks. And we've also increased that along the west side as well, all around. So so enhance those, or increase those distances and then increase the commitment to tree canopies and trees and landscaping. The other thing that's probably the most significant thing that we've done along the way is when we first came in our very first neighborhood meeting, we really wanted to do a mix on the east side of 3 and 4 stories. We wanted to start with 3 on Long East and then have it go up to potential of 4 stories. We heard loud and clear from people that there were concerns about that. We have dropped that to no more than 2 stories along the eastern boundary. We have dropped it to no more than 34 feet, which is the same height that's allowed in the existing CR1 zoning of both the site now. So we're currently allowed to go to 34 feet under our existing zoning. And it's also the same as what our neighbors are around us. So we've matched that. That for the first 85 feet of the property, we have to match that. Once we get past that 85 feet, we're asking for up to 40 feet, which would allow us to get that extra story. So 2 stories within 85 feet, 3 stories toward the middle of that. And if we can go back to one of the concepts, just one slide back is fine. This particular one has a, even more of an 85-foot setback on that. I think Michael had some good illustrations in his that had those yellow squares that showed you where we could exceed that 34 feet to get that, past that 85-foot linear feet away from the property boundary. But again, matching what the neighbors have, what we have now around the outside where we abut existing residential. West side, again, 34 feet, the whole thing, Resort Gateway West, 34 feet on that side as well.
I think with that, lighting. We've committed and we've put design standards into the PAD. One of those talks about lighting. We'll be fully compliant, obviously, with Oro Valley's outdoor lighting, but we'll cut off that we don't spill onto the adjacent property, keep the dark skies. Noise is a concern that was expressed in most of our meetings, our neighborhood meetings. Noise would be a major issue for the resort as well. We certainly don't want to create something that's going to have noise, that's going to create issues with the resort guests. And, there's noise ordinances that cut off sound or cut off outdoor amplification and loud sounds and noises and music and things like that after 10 p.m. We'd be fully compliant with that. And would self-enforce that the resort would to make sure that we don't create a situation that is bad for the neighbors or bad for the resort guests. And with that, I believe I have taken a ton of time and I will go ahead and turn it back to Mr. Spade. And I will be here, Andrew will be here, and we would love to answer any of your questions.
All right, thank you so much. I'm going to turn the time over now to the commission to ask the applicant any questions that they had. So if you guys have questions, if you can raise your hand now, and I will get to you. And then after that, we will move on to our public hearing. All right, Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. Actually, I have a couple of questions for Mr. Kiesler, if I could. He's available.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So the first question relates to the access point to the West Gateway area, and the traffic impact analysis indicated based on county standards that it did not meet warrants for a deceleration lane.
That's correct.
In fact, the analysis indicated there weren't a lot of ingress trips at that point, either AM or PM. Right. But again, without a deceleration lane and the speed of traffic on INA, it would seem to me there's always a possibility for an accident, somebody slowing down to make a turn and so on. Is that access really necessary, at least for ingress?
Well, it's such a low generator. It may not be necessary. It depends on what ultimately goes in there. However, there is a wide shoulder there as well. So you'll notice that there aren't very many deceleration lanes up and down INA Road. And with that traffic so light, I believe it's six in the peak hour. It's not like you have a fairly good stream. It's just six in the peak hour. A lot of that slowing down can actually happen in the shoulder, and it will happen in the shoulder, much the same as the other streets that connect onto INA Road as well.
Okay. So you think the shoulder's wide enough to essentially function as a deceleration lane?
It can, yes. Yes.
Okay. The other question about the traffic impact analysis is I didn't see anything in there about alternative modes for accessing the site. I don't know if there's bus service on INA in that location or not. I know there's bicycle lanes. Mm-hmm. Is that something that should be considered in a traffic impact analysis?
Typically not. What we want to do is we want to look at the most conservative, and the most conservative impact is going to be everybody driving there. If you were to actually look at multiple modes of transportation, such as bicycles or bus service, you might ultimately decrease the numbers of what the future impact will be, and that could skew some of the results. From an industry standard, when we're doing the analysis to just check on safety and check on flow, we generally don't take those into account. However, I do want to say that when we do get into the improvement plans, we're going to want to make sure that those are accommodated for, that you do have adequate pedestrian path system, multi-use lanes. And of course, there's an ability for some type of a bus service to be able to turn around or at least have a bus stop.
Okay. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Do any of the other commissioners have questions at this time? Ellen, did you have a question? Or Commissioner Hahn?
I do. Sure. Oh, okay. I don't know if this is the right time for me to ask the question, but I was wondering if any of these plans have room for possible change, you know, with the pandemic, and we don't know how long it's going to last, and, you know, with the downturn of the economy and, you know, especially the commercial properties and so forth, you know, going vacant these days. Is that something that was, you know, thought about when this plan was put together? That's it. Something to think about.
Sure. Chair Gamble, I can address that question. So Commissioner Hong, so the zoning code does establish criteria for determining what's called substantial conformance with an approved tentative development plan. So those three concepts that you saw, you know, should they ultimately get approved by council down the road, then any future development that comes in is going to have to be in substantial conformance with that. And so because there are a variety of uses that are depicted on there, those plans allow us to look at them from a code conformance perspective, but it also allows a little bit of flexibility depending on how the market plays out, right? Now, if there was something that they came in with that was totally divergent from anything that even remotely resembled what got approved, there's a process for that, too. But they'd have to go back to commission and council as part of a rezoning to update that. So there are some built-in parameters to allow something like that to happen, yes. But it has to be in substantial conformance. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, were there any other comments or questions from commission? Oh, Ellen, Commissioner Hong?
Yes, one additional question, which I meant to ask when I was doing the site tour, was that had the applicant, you know, proposed the zoning change possibly with the Pima County? If so, what was their response? And is there any particular reason why this application is before Oro Valley Township instead of Pima County?
I can address that. No, we have not taken this proposal to Pima County. This proposal is coming forth now. Again, we don't have users. We don't have immediate plans for development. It's coming forth because of the request by the town for annexation. So it's all, the emphasis is on the annexation, or the planning is a result of the annexation.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments from commission? I'm not seeing any, so I am going to open up the public hearing. So any member of the public that would like to ask a question or make comments, please click on the participants button kind of in the bottom middle of the screen, and then select the raise hand button so I know that you would like to speak. And then if you're calling in on a phone, again, that's the *9. And I just want to, before we get started, just thank all of you guys for attending. This is awesome having so much public participation. And I know we got a ton of letters that were in our packet that we all read through. And, you know, I just love when there's so much public participation because it makes our job as a commission a lot easier, because we really do represent the community. And I'm so thankful that we have so many people here to let us know how the community is feeling. So with that, I have the first hand
The name is iPad Air Janet.
I'm on.
All right. Would you like your video on, Janet?
No, that's okay. Fine. I haven't seen the new traffic report, and I don't know if it's posted online. I'm hopeful that if it isn't, it will be. But one of my concerns is traffic. And what the original traffic report projected around 3,000 additional trips in and out per day. My question is, has anybody looked at the effect of that? Because the light is triggered to people pulling up and wanting to make a turn, right or left, on the flow of traffic on Ina.
Okay, I have got your question. You were concerned about the traffic flow on Ina. And since we want to get through everybody, I am going to have staff write that down, and then we will answer all of the questions at the end. And then, Janet, if you could also just state your full name and
my name is
an Oro Valley resident or not for the record.
My name is Janet Senf, and no, I am not an Oro Valley resident.
Okay. All right. Did you have any other comments or questions?
I'm focusing on that. Thank you.
Okay, we will get back to that once we hear everyone's questions. Thank you, Janet. I'm going to unmute John Rowley.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, I can. Would you like your camera on?
No, that's okay, thank you.
All right.
Yes, if I could request that Mr. Spaeth, if he could pull up the overlay photograph in the pad, which I think is farther down, that was submitted by Westwood Look in the Planning Center, because it's my understanding that the council persons had walked along the easement. Let me explain that I am one of the six houses with my wife, Angela, that are on the west, on the east side. Our house is actually the closest to the stables. And I would like to see if they could pull up this photo that they had submitted. I'm not sure if overlays photograph is the correct word, but it's an indication to show the council persons that what it would be like to have the two-story at the requested separation from the property line. Because my request would be is to have only one story along the east side, just like they have the townhouses up on the northwest corner. Farther down, you should have the overlay. That's where I guess they walked on the property, took a photograph, and then they overlay what it would look like to have a two-story.
Sure, Chair Gamble, give me just a sec. I know what he's talking about. It's visual simulation. Let me track it down.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is regarding the privacy, because you will see how easy is these windows are looking over our property. So it would be nice if they would think about restricting the 50 foot, the 85 foot to be a one story, whether it be a one story business property or a one story residence. Those residents like the townhouses, like I said, which is part of the area, those townhouses in the northwest, up the top of the hill.
Okay, so I've written down your comment about the two stories and then the windows looking into your guys' properties and your backyards.
Okay.
Thank you. So we will address that when we get through everyone.
Sure. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. All right, John, I'm now going to unmute John Richardson. John?
Yes. Hi. Hello. Thank you. My name is John Richardson. I live within the affected area just on the other side of Einar Road. I'm not an Oro Valley resident. I would like to address my concern about option C of alternate C. Could we get that picture up? Would that be possible? Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mr. Gamble, it's like 50 clicks here to get to.
I'm impressed that you're making this happen, Mr. Spaeth.
Here we go.
You know, there's A, B, and C, and I have just a really significant concern about C, and they're as follows, in that, yes, you have a 6-foot block wall, but in C, you're then going to have 2-story residents, as you can see, that are very close to that block wall and back. And let's put either A or B up for a second. With either A or B, there is a very significant parking lot buffer for the many houses that are to the north of that. That will really help. And if the lighting is controlled well in the common area, like the parking lots or something, that will really help bring to fruition the statement that was made that we don't want light spilling over into the people's, you know, CR1 lots just to the north of that. And you could see there on concept B, and it's the same on concept A, is there's really quite a significant distance between those, you know, that property line. But if you go back to C, those houses are going to be 2 stories, and they're going to be right up near there. And there's no way you can control the light coming out of a 2-story window under those circumstances. Those 2-story residences are just going to have light spilling over into that other area. There's no way not to have that happen. And when there's better alternatives, it seems like those are the ones that should be pursued, because this is the only alternative where actual multi-story development is so close and so pushed up against those other lots to the north. The other concern I have about C, there's two of them, is one, you know, there was the thing of, oh, it's going to be mixed. Well, except for maybe C. And C is a ton of residential. And so if we are going to have that, let's not have it all residential. C is the one that really makes that a problem. And keep in mind that C, this area, the Resort Gateway West, is not only being annexed, and it's not only being subject to these special things, but it's the only one that takes a general plan amendment from your own proposal for what that should have been. It was the only area of all this that required a general plan amendment. Last but not least, if you look at C, the amount of space between Einar Road and the turn-in is much, much less than it is for A and B. So if you were driving east on Einar and you're going to turn in, and there's a couple of cars kind of waiting to go into that luxury apartment area or the other side, you know, there's some space there. But boy, once those get stacked up, it's like, you know, it's like the Starbucks on Broadway. Pretty soon you're worried about that last car poking out. So if you'd show either A or B. Could we change it to now either concept A or concept B? Yeah, see how much further for B, how much more stackability that you have. There's not going to be any issue on concept B or concept A about the ability to get those cars actually into one of those areas without worrying that they're going to be stacking up to somebody is sticking out near Ina. And so, you know, my thoughts are that you know, we have to be, you know, very sensitive to these areas of where we're going to affect people. And I just don't think C does it. So I would suggest some careful analysis of whether C is reasonable to include in the mix. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Richardson. Okay, back on our list. Eric Bakken?
Yeah, that's me.
Hello. Would you like your video on?
Sure. I think it's already on.
Oh, okay. There we go. Sorry, my participant list is... Okay. Hello.
Hi. Great. Thanks for the opportunity to comment tonight. Not a resident of Oro Valley yet, anyways. I do live on Sonia Way, right along the southeast property line with Westward Look. Appreciate the outreach that Westward Look has done and the Planning Center, especially their willingness to really kind of address the concerns of those properties kind of most impacted by the proposed development, those kind of along that east property line. They've really done a lot of work to try to incorporate some of the suggestions and address some of the concerns that we have. We really appreciate Westward Look as a neighbor and their desire to kind of responsibly develop this parcel that's, you know, really kind of immediately adjacent to those homes along the east property line. That said, like John, our preference is to limit any development to one story. If ultimately multi-story buildings are permitted, we prefer that it be limited to two stories as opposed to the three that's proposed now, and be at least 150 feet away from the property line, primarily for privacy reasons. I'll just note that 150 feet looks to be about the closest distance between our homes and any of the existing two-story Westward Look buildings that are kind of on the property now. Really look forward to working with the Planning and Zoning Commission staff with Westward Look and the Planning Center to develop a plan that incorporates some of these suggestions or conditions and really look to try to maintain the character and the nature of the Westward Look neighborhood. So thanks for, again, the opportunity to make a few comments here tonight, and that's all I have.
All right. Thank you for commenting. We always appreciate that. I have got M. Bailey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Hi. I'm on my PC, so I don't have a camera. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So I've spoke before, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Roussin, Lopez, and Lazardi. And we represent a resident named Elizabeth Dudley who lives in Westward Look Estates. And the focus of the comments tonight in the question has to do with the 23-acre parcel of open space. And for the record, Mrs. Dudley is requesting, and she has requested, that the town requires a condition of any rezoning approval for the property that Westward Look record a covenant that runs with the land that will perpetually protect that 23-acre parcel. That being said, we are encouraged by the comments tonight and by the town's and the applicant's acknowledgement of really how important that the long-term protection of that 23-acre parcel is to the neighbors. And we look forward to reviewing whatever details come out on this, but I want to focus the question on either to Mr. Spaeth or to the applicant to provide some more specifics about what that protection looks like. And frankly, the concern, I think, is that what Mrs. Morales mentioned was that the only way to change what they would what would come out of this rezoning would be to go through the rezoning process again. And again, we're encouraged that, you know, the intent right now is not to change that, not to develop that parcel. But the concern is that, you know, those things can change. And so what I'm asking is if we can get some more specifics on what that protection looks like. And again, I think we're very encouraged by the acknowledgement and the direction that this is heading with respect to that 23-acre parcel, but we would like some more specifics. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, up next, Tucson.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. Just a couple of things. You know, one thing that's really interesting in this process of how annexation, I guess, works, and maybe around the country, I don't know, but you can have people who are directly impacted by annexation and rezoning and not be technically represented by the given municipality. For example, the rezoning that's occurring along Ina and the houses that are immediately adjacent to it, they're just on the goodwill that the town council and Planning and Zoning Commission is going to be willing to hear their concerns. There's no incentive because they're not voters of that given jurisdiction. They're Pima County voters. And it's nice to see, I saw that Rex Scott is one of the people who's listening in on this. But it's just, that's just an interesting fundamental democratic phenomenon that's occurring here. Being born in Tucson and just kind of being wanting to preserve the natural feel of my hometown, I'm actually kind of against the entire thing. And I wonder if the Planning and Zoning Commission is open, if the annexation has to go forward in order for you to obtain the bed taxes and the revenue that the town of Oro Valley really wants from annexing Westward Look, is there any option to keep the zoning for the properties along Ina Road to what they are right now, which I think are homes? They're multi-acre homes that are supposed to be there. And I wonder if there's anybody on the Planning and Zoning Commission who's open to that, or anybody on the council who's open to that. So the neighbors and the community and just the feel of driving down beautiful Ina Road with desert on both ends is not impacted. In all of these meetings, as far as I know, we've never seen the property owner, Dr. Patel, present. I know he owns many, many hotels across the country, and this is just one of them. But, he has not been shown up. I guess that's not so much of a concern, but more of the concern is really what can we do as citizens to ask the commission to actually take a look at not just this is it and you have option one, two, or three, but an option to not do it at all. And finally, I was just going to ask, I understand at the last meeting they didn't record it, but I'm wondering if this could be recorded and posted along with some of the previous meetings that were recorded and posted. The last one was not on the website. So those were my concerns, and I don't know if some of those could be addressed. Thank you.
Before you go, Tucson, could you please state your name?
I didn't want to give my name.
Oh, okay. All right, so I have got your question marked down. And if that's everything, I'm going to go on to the next hand, Dinos Skeller. Yeah. Did I say that right? Oh. We can't hear you. I think you need to unmute your speaker.
Okay, how's that?
There we go. That's great.
Okay, good. My actual name is Constantine Sekeller, but most people know me by Dino. I live at 7251 Northwest Woodlick Drive. I'm not a resident of Oro Valley, but I have been in the past. I support the proposal and the annexation and the development. My home is located a couple hundred feet from Ina and Westward Look Drive intersections. Two-thirds of my property line is directly adjacent to the proposed annexation and development, which is 2 to 3 times more than any other adjacent property. It is the only property that actually abuts both the east and the west gateway. So I have my support in support of the annexation development. I believe it's the right thing to do. My parents built the family home 60 years ago, and they understood that Westford Look someday would develop their property. When I bought the home for my parents 28 years ago, I too understood that Westford Look had the right to develop their property. Westford Look's always been a great neighbor. They've maintained the road and landscape I use every day. They've provided security and have allowed me and my family to use their trails and grounds over the years. They've always been receptive and responsive to concerns and continue to address concerns during this annexation process. Another thing is that Oro Valley has the highest development standards and community services of any municipality in Southern Arizona. They've been a model for communities nationwide, setting the standard for quality development. I think the partnership between Oro Valley, Westford Look, and our neighbors is a win-win, and I just appeal to my neighbors to continue to keep working for a quality solution and embrace this partnership. And I just want to thank Westford Look, the town of Oro Valley, and Linda for the times that they've spent listening to me and my concerns and my neighbors' concerns. So thank you, commissioners.
You are welcome. Thank you for your comments. I have got another comment from Mr. Rowley. Let me unmute you here.
Yes, I was just wondering if they had the ability to show the photo overlay from the pad.
Chair Gamble, I do. Yes, okay. Give me just a second. I'll pull it up. So I believe Mr. Riley, you were talking about this here.
Yes, that lower left one.
Okay.
Yeah, as you can see here on that lower left, you see the yard that's just dirt and rocks with the fence. That fence to the right is my south property line. And if you see that the property, the two-story building with the window, and you also see the TEP pole, that is all looking over to, that's actually that would be where the stables exist today. Those are where the horses are. And you can see how that window, that two-story, marked at that, I think it was 85 foot, is looking over my property and along the any kind of two-story along the east side is going to look along the six houses along that side. So that's, I just wanted to show the council persons, this is what we're going to be seeing if we're not able to put in the pad to say buildings along the 50 or 85 foot, and I like Eric's idea of 150 foot to sit there and say, can you at least make them a one story? Because you're going to have 6 foot, 6 foot building or 6 foot fence or a wall, but you can see how much more that building there with that window is protruding over that 6 foot wall. So there's just no privacy. So that's really what I hope I can drive at, is that if we can come to an understanding where we can go along that line and put in a single-story business or a single-story home along that edge, the home just like on the northwest side. So that was my point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. We've got one more comment from Dave Perry. There you go. You are unmuted.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Good evening, Chair, members of the commission, staff, and public. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Dave Perry. I'm the president and CEO of the Oro Valley Chamber, proud resident of Oro Valley for 13 years now. I always want to be transparent. Our chamber has a $40,000 annual operating agreement with the town of Oro Valley for services performed on its behalf. In addition, we have a six-month, $15,000 addendum to help the town with rollout of OV safe steps during the pandemic. My comments tonight are not part of any of those agreements. Additionally, both the applicant and its representative are members of our chamber. Neither of those has asked me to speak this evening. I did want to formally express our chamber's support for the three items related to this annexation and future development in front of you. You've all seen and heard the benefits to town government, to the resort itself, and to ownership. We've read the report from Applied Economics, and you know, clearly there's opportunities there for those parties. I like to look at economic activity beyond government money, and acquiring a second resort property for the town of Oro Valley, it builds our portfolio for winter visitors, for major events, for meeting and convention business. And I'm hoping that those sectors will rebound sometime soon, because this pandemic has been a terrible stressor for the important hospitality industry. Mr. Stegen can directly attest to the many challenges and hard decisions that they've had to make. So I'm pleased to see the resort and its ownership align with a government that's forward-thinking and, while it has its own demands, is open to new ideas. I'm living a little bit from my comments, and I just want to express my respect and appreciation for the neighbors and the way that they've gone about addressing these issues. And no question, they're the most profoundly impacted by any of these proposals and ideas. And your comments have been thoughtful and specific, and I admire that. And I'm proud, honestly, because you know, I've been in the chamber for 10 years, and I've watched Oro Valley government up close all that time. Its processes and its commitment to public involvement can be lengthy and difficult. More than a few times, I have shaken my head in exhaustion at the whole thing. But I would say to those neighbors, and Mr. Sekulow knows this firsthand, that thorough process and public participation are core values in Oro Valley. This government's gonna listen to you all, the development community is gonna respond, and it already has with some of the adjustments and changes that have been made. You all will be heard, and you're gonna be heard in the future as well. You all, we all live in a beautiful place. In your particular instance, you're close to the second busiest intersection in all of Greater Tucson, Ina and Oracle. Our challenge, the growth is coming. Our challenge is to make that development that is palatable to the neighbors while serving the needs of business and government and the public at large. In its report to you all, Oro Valley staff expressed its, quote, commitment to quality development. And I can attest that in Oro Valley, quality development is always the final result. Broadly, we think this is a good proposal, and we ask for your favorable consideration and recommendations this evening, or actually at the next meeting when you get to make a recommendation. Thank you for your time and for your service.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Perry, for your comments. I'm going to go on to Mike Myers. If you will unmute. Hello?
I'm unmuted. Hello.
Hello.
So I am, I got to move the camera here. I was looking somewhere else. I appreciate you giving me a minute to chat here. I know I'm holding everyone away from getting down to the rest of the evening. So thank you, Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor Barrett, town council members, planning commissioners, and town staff members. My name is Mike Myers. I'm married and I have three kids, and I live at 3 East Old Ina Road, which is directly adjacent to the parcel identified as Resort Gateway West. I am not an Oro Valley resident, although I'm happy to be if that ever happens. I have a bad arm, and I can toss, not throw a ball, onto the Resort Gateway West parcel next to my home, and it would land there within a few seconds. I want to throw out that I support business development, and I've appreciated my interactions with Andrew Stegen from Westward Look in the Planning Center. My concern, similar to others, is around the height of some of the concepts that have been shown in the buildings in general, most specifically around concept Plan C that is under consideration that places multi-story residences that will look down on my backyard and will absolutely look into at least two bedrooms in my home. My request is simple. I am requesting that you consider the elimination of concept C from the options available to the landowner and that building height should be limited to one story in any proximity where the distance between new development and my home would enable new development residents or other land users in the new development to be able to look directly into my home. I believe that I am requesting what any spouse or parent would want when development occurred right next to their existing residence, basically reasonable privacy and protection for my family and my home. Thank you for your time and consideration of my comments. I really appreciate you working me in here at the end.
Oh, no problem. I am always happy to take public comments. It's my favorite part of the process. I am not seeing any more hands raised. So I'm going to give a last call. If anybody else has a question or a comment they'd like to add, this is your chance, or you will need to wait till next commission meeting in February. All right, I'm not seeing any, so I'm now going to close the public hearing. And I am going to turn the time back over to commissioners for comments and also to town staff and the planning center to answer some of these questions that we've got. So let's first answer some of these questions. So Mr. Spaeth.
Sure, yes, thank you, Chair Gamble, member of those of the commission. So I'll answer the ones that I can. I know there's one okay. For Mr. Kiesler, we'll pass off to him. And then of course there were certainly a number for Ms. Morales that we'll defer to her on. So the first one that is kind of in my wheelhouse was, there was a comment by Mr. Richardson about the Resort Gateway West being requiring a general plan amendment and why it was so different than the other side. And so, you know, the code or our general plan, excuse me, to answer that question, as I kind of intimated in my presentation, expressly acknowledged that there were going to be requests for general plan amendments throughout the 10-year lifespan, of the plan. And the idea there was that we weren't going to, the voters and the commissions that helped us put that together and ultimately commission and council weren't going to go through and change things that we thought were more appropriate without that required public outreach process. That was vital. The commissions and committees felt that was vital to have that process. So that's why we're here before you this evening. So we can have that opportunity for public input on that proposal. Ms. M. Bailey, I didn't catch the first name there, had a question about the open space protections and what specifics does that actually look like? And you referenced it as Ms. Morales mentioned that, right. So, you know, once it's zoned open space as opposed to Pima County CR1, it's a lot more difficult. I can't say 100% positive, but it's nearly impossible in my estimation as a planner to go back after the fact and rezone something that was such a tacit component of the applicant's proposal to in perpetuity leave that area as open space. So from a planning perspective, from a processing perspective, it is, in our estimation, a good protection for that open space area. And I know your client has asked for some additional deed restrictions and things, and that's something the town cannot legally do. Other jurisdictions throughout the country have different rules and laws and things that they might be able to do that, but the town is not ever in a good position and can't legally do that on private property. So I hope that answers your question. The next one was from Tucson, a gentleman who didn't want to give his name about immediate neighbors not having adequate protection. I can assure you that from staff's review of development applications, and I know, I think I can speak for the commission for sure and council as well. That's why we're all here. We're all part of the process. We don't care whether you're an Oro Valley citizen or a Pima County citizen or a City of Tucson citizen. your input is valued and necessary and important. And I just want to make sure that even if you have the perception that you are not being adequately represented, I can assure you that I think I speak for everyone here to tell you that we absolutely take your opinion into account, and it's a value to us for sure. So in terms of recording and posting this video, yes, we unfortunately didn't click the record button on one of the last neighborhood meetings, which is why that wasn't posted online, but this will be posted online on the meetings and agendas link in a couple of days. You'll be able to go there and rewatch it just like you are now. So yes, we will absolutely put that online. Ms. Morales, if you don't mind, I'm going to kick the traffic one over to, actually, if you want to take a stab at the traffic one first, I can let you go that route. And if Mr. Kiesler feels like he needs to add anything, Chair, was there any other things that you wanted me to answer?
Nope. Let's kick it over to traffic.
Okay. Thank you. So Ms. Morales.
I'll start, and then I'll look to Mr. Kiesler if he can help me out on anything technical. I think the first, I apologize if I'm confusing different speakers, but I think the first concern that someone expressed was about if the traffic report had been adjusted or updated from the very first time. And we actually, the first, the traffic report that was prepared was done when the property was 3 and 4 stories. It was done under more intense development. So we were definitely showing that worst case in that. The turning lane, I believe, was a question. Was that the other half of it, Commissioner Gamble, Chair Gamble?
Yes.
Thank you. We are committed to doing the turning lane into the traffic report did say on the eastern driveway. I apologize if I didn't get that quite right or didn't explain that very well when I was going through it before. We need to have one for that eastern driveway. And part of our planning process was we actually had to shift that driveway further into the site away from the eastern property boundary to be able to have the spacing so that the decel lane was the appropriate length without interfering with Sonia Way, which is the street, the next closest street that goes into West Ripley Heights. So we're committed to doing that, basically a continuous turning lane. And then there was not actually a warrant, from what I understand, to the property or to the west side. When we get into actual plans and actual development plans, there will be additional traffic reports that are required based on that more specific proposed development. So that'll be refined. It'll be any new findings, any new traffic will have to reflect that. So that'll help kind of clarify that and make it clear whether there's a lane needed, whether it ends up being, it could end up being at that time, and we don't want to commit to it right now, but later on down the road, the traffic report could say that that could be an exit only, not in. So we're relying on the science of that, relying on the engineers as we go forward and continue to refine that. I'll kick it to the expert, Mr. Kiesler.
All right, Mr. Kiesler.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I'm having problems. Somebody needs to open my, there we go. Open my camera.
There you are.
Thank you. So yes, Ms. Morales touched on a little bit of this. I heard two questions. The first question I heard was whether we analyzed the ADT, the daily traffic. And the thing with the daily traffic is that traffic is spread over 24 hours. Now, there's going to be more traffic at very specific times of the day. So if you look at the distribution of traffic, it's kind of like two bell curves if you looked over that 24-hour period. What we do for a traffic impact analysis is we look at the very high points. What is the maximum? We take a picture of the maximum impact, and that's generally during rush hour, what we call that as the peak hour. And that's where you're going to have your largest safety issues. That's where you need to do, that's where you need to gauge your mitigation from. If it works at the peak, it works the rest of the day long. So although there's roughly 3,000 trips per day across that 24 hours, it's the peak is really where that concentration is. And that's in the morning and in the afternoon. Typically 7:45 to 8 o'clock in the morning, and in the afternoon is generally right around 5 o'clock. And it varies depending on the characteristics of the road. The second question was with regard to the stacking of traffic on Ina Road due to alternative C. And I believe that was very much concentrated on the western portion of the development, the housing development. And at this level, what we've done is we've analyzed the worst case scenario, which was illustration B. Now, illustration B does have a lighter impact on the west side than what my engineering intuition is telling me C will have. C will have a heavier impact. And what we're going to do is when the applicant comes through, and I think this is what Ms. Morales alluded to, when the applicant comes through with a very specific development, we are going to revise the traffic impact study to match whatever that development is. And again, my engineering intuition is that given where that driveway is, there's adequate room and it will probably meet more for a right turn lane coming off Vina. Because how many houses are on there, Ms. Morales?
Mr. Kiesler, on the Resort Gateway west side?
Yes, for
alternate. 38.
So with 38, we're probably going to see probably close to 30 cars at the peak hour. So so that will very definitely meet a warrant. The east side met warrant at 26 in the morning and 27 in the afternoon. So again, what I want to assure the public and assure the commission and assure council is that as a very specific development comes through, the TIA will be reanalyzed to make sure that it meets muster with regard to whatever mitigation measures are required. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then Ms. Morales, I'm gonna unmute you here. And could you briefly touch on, there was several comments about Concept C that was, I'm sure, all residential. I wasn't sure where the commercial component to that was. And then specifically, if you could address the west side with the two-story buildings overlooking. We had concerns about privacy and lighting.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for the reminder of this.
No problem.
I'm just going to be completely frank with you on Concept C. We originally developed that with the hotel use, and that was going to be what we were going to do as a convention hotel, basically taking up all of the eastern side of the of Resort Gateway. And so that took care of the non-residential. Over the time and the meetings that we've had, we've heard the comments that there was concern about that whole thing becoming a convention hotel. Again, there was concern that that type of a party crowd, if you will, or something like that, that might attract, might be more disruptive to the neighbors. So at the second meeting that we had, the second public meeting, we dropped the hotel use. We've since put it back in a limited form. I don't have the right label on there. If you look in the PAD, it actually has a hotel as a potential use on there. It didn't make it onto this version that was on there, my mistake. So there is a possibility of that. But right now, the way it shows, you're right, it could not go all 100% residential. It would have to have some component. And again, that's that mix and match kind of scenario where we can take some of one concept here and then a different concept there. And so we just didn't go back and mix those up and revise them along the way as the project kind of evolved. On the west side, again, we have along the where we abut the neighbors to the north, We have that 40-foot buffer. We have that 6-foot well. We have the landscaping. And then that's the closest that the homes could go. We have, like we did on the east side, we've said no more than the 34 feet. Actually, we've said that whole side is basically no more than the 34 feet. Again, matching what the existing zoning allows, matching what the surrounding, all the CR1 zoning allows. So that's where we've developed that plan. And we feel that the setback and the landscaping that would go in there would give that transition and that privacy as you go forward to the north, to the neighbors.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think that was all of our questions.
Chair Gamble, can I remind, there was one that I was hoping to kick over to Ms.
Yes.
Morales. So there was a question about whether or not the applicant and the resort would pursue the annexation still or go with the annexation if the rezoning wasn't coupled with it. So I was hoping maybe you could just provide some insight on that, Ms. Morales.
Thank you. No, it is a package deal.
All right, thank you. So I think that's all of the questions that we had. I'm going to open up the discussion back to commissioners. So if the commissioners can raise their hand, if they have any other questions or things they would like clarified now. Commissioner Hong, can you unmute? There we go.
Yeah, this again may not be related to what we're supposed to discuss this evening, but since we are concerned about the traffic, I was wondering if the township or I don't know the developer would have ability to possibly improve the road immediate to the property, that would be the Aina and Oracle. Because as it is quite aged, that they're kind of, you know, overused. And another thing is, if there may be any room for, I don't know, acquiring some of these, you know, housing, the property owners, you know, who are concerned about the height issues and the noise and traffic, because, you know, that piece of land is actually very prime. I'm not an expert in this, but, you know, it's a good, really good location. You know, it attracts quite a lot of traffic, as we've been discussing. It's a prime commercial location, more than maybe residential. So those two questions, which may not be related to our discussion today. I don't know who can address that. Maybe township or the development, or the applicant, possibly.
Mr. Spate?
Sure, Chair Gamble, Member Hong, so no, yeah, we haven't certainly discussed with the applicant acquiring other property around that area. The sole focus of the project has been on the property that is owned by Westward Look. And then to your first question about improving roadways beyond the property. So, we can't do that from a legal perspective. So we as a town collect impact fees and can ask for improvements on things that are directly related to the actual rezoning, not things that are beyond and not related to the
property. Related question then is, if the applicant is provided with the rezoning request by the township, can that development right be transferred to another developer down the road who may be requesting for modified development plan that would allow for acquisitions and, you know, possible need for improved road conditions, traffic flow.
Sure, Chair Gamble, Member Hong, and so a couple things there. So Mr. Kiesler and Ms. Morales both touched on the fact that as this moves forward, there were going to be updates to the traffic impact study associated with the project, depending on what ends up being built. And if things come out of that are required to be put in as a result of the project, then those will be required. They're going to have to do those for sure. Now, again, a condition for a rezoning has to be related to the project, right? So we, the town can't put on there a condition that says Westward Look has to improve the Oracle and Ina intersection or something like that, right? But if there was infrastructure improvement that was required as a result of, directly resulted of the project, then absolutely, that goes with the property as part of the rezoning. I hope that answered your question.
And again, can the development right be transferred? Currently, it is the applicant is the Westward, Dr. Patel, but can he be, you know, transferring that right to some other developer, maybe, you know, well-funded?
Chair Gamble, Member Hong, so that, right, if there's a rezoning condition, that runs with the property until it's satisfied.
All right. Sorry. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Hong? All right. Okay. And then, Ms. Morales, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
Yes, Chair Gamble. I just wanted to add the trigger to memory that I hadn't covered. One of the things that we would do immediately upon a successful annexation and general plan and PAD would be to do some aesthetic improvements of the intersection. Right now, Ina is fairly new, the intersection. They've got the, they just did the Michigan left or indirect left kind of thing down at Ina and Oracle, but the light is there. Of course, if we trigger something else, Mr. Kiesler is going to make sure that we do whatever we need to do. But along with those aesthetic entry monuments, so it really is apparent that this is the main entrance to Westward Look, and that it really dresses that up and is befitting the quality of the development. We're going to do that at the intersection, but we're also going to fix up the road. That is a private, Westward Look is a private drive going up there. So that is part of the plan. Actually, it's part of the improvements regardless, part of that remodel. It just hasn't been done because we're still in the middle of that and Mr. Stegan doesn't want to go and repave the road and have all these construction trucks and stuff back and forth and tearing it up again. So that'll be happening really soon. And that will help with the residents that live along there. It's kind of been a little potholed and not in great shape right now. So we'll fix that soon. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So just to clarify for everyone, Mr. Spaeth, I'm gonna ask you about this. So we've got the three concepts. Are those like, would those be comparable to like a site plan? So once those rights are given, then they do not need to come back before commission. Those three options would be a go ahead, or would those still need to come back to commission?
Chair Gamble, members of the commission. So the PAD, so zoning code allows that a site plan that is in conformance with a tentative development plan associated with a rezoning, if that site plan comes in within 5 years of the rezoning being approved, it does not have to go back to commission and council. The PAD includes has increased that from 5 to 10 years. So any site plan that would come in that's in conformance with any one of the three concepts within the next 10 years could go straight to what we call final site plan and improvement plans and construction documents. It does not have to go back through commission and council. But if it's beyond 10 years, then it would, because, you know, the idea is that in that time frame, things have changed potentially, and there's different codes that may be applicable and et cetera. So I hope that answers your question.
That does, thank you. And then just to clarify one more thing, when we do vote on this next month, would we have an option to not approve this site plan for Concept C?
Chair Gamble, absolutely. Yep, that's certainly within the commission's purview, and pass that forward as part of your recommendation one way or the other.
Okay, because I think out of all of the site plans, that one was
the one that seemed to be the most sticky. So, and then without having a concrete plan of where the commercial will be, and just having the huge apartment. So hopefully next time we'll be able to have a clearer picture of that. And maybe if it was to be a larger apartment complex on the east side, then perhaps, you know, commercial could be on the west side, eliminating those height and privacy light problems that the neighbors were bringing up. Because I do agree that is a little unfortunate. So, and I know there's ways to, you know, fix all of those things. So I think, you know, you guys have done a really great job fixing things already with the planning center, and, you know, listening to the neighbors' concerns. So I really, really appreciate that. Did any other commissioners have comments? I'm not seeing any. So I've got two hands raised, Tucson and John Rowley. Technically, we've already closed the public hearing, but I would like to give you guys a chance to be heard. So Tucson, I am going to unmute you, and you've got 3 minutes. All right, hello?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes.
Okay. I just had, I'll just list the questions really quick, and then maybe somebody who knows about them can answer it. I guess number one to Ms. Morales, there was some talk, like, at one of the earlier meetings that you guys weren't going to move forward. Maybe it'll be something several years down the road, but you just wanted to get the annexation and stuff done. So do you know when you would start anything? Like, when would even the road be paved? And then the number two question is, I thought that that was a county road, the Westward Look Road. But you were just saying that that's a private road. So when you take when you go north from Ina on Westward Look, is that private, or is that a county road? And then this third question was, I know that the Pima County, I mean the Oro Valley, will be getting bed tax from the resort. But does that mean that Pima County would then lose that bed tax? Is that revenue that the county would then lose once Oro Valley comes in and annexes that area? And then the final question was, I guess this has been touched on before. There was a lawsuit, a lawyer on there too. But right now we're rezoning those 23 acres for open space. But let's say the property gets sold, you know, to somebody else who has different ideas, who's not as sympathetic as Dr. Patel or whatnot. In that instance, can that be lost? Can that land protection be lost? I guess you'd have to go through another rezoning process. But is there a way to put a nail in that and make it 100%? So those were the four questions. I don't know if the different folks could address those. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I can address. No, sorry. Thanks, Chair Gamble. I can address some of those, and then I would like to actually kick it over to Andrew Stegan, and he can answer specifically about timing and the bed tax and things like that. The zoning runs with the land; it doesn't run with the developer. Again, we want to just completely emphasize this over and over again that is not the intent. I can't say that somebody might not try it down the line, but if I were you, I would take the transcript of this hearing and I'm willing to put it on the record at the mayor and council. We are not going to develop that land, and don't propose to come back and do that later. You know, there's nothing 100% certain in the world, but I can say that is not the intent. The one thing that is certain is that a lot of that property is washed, and we've agreed to put that into the plan as protected habitat. So that would also add a layer of protection to that riparian area as well. There is some property, like I said, that could be developed right along Westward Look Drive, but that is not certainly anybody's intent to do anything there. With that, I think those were
Chair Gamble, if you don't mind, Ms. Morales, could you answer the question about whether it's private or county road, Westward Look?
Thank you. It is a private road. It actually only provides access right now to Westward Lick and the townhomes. It comes up and comes back around and feeds into those townhomes. And those were originally, actually that whole area was part of the Westward Lick Ranch back in the day. And that developed, was originally Westward Lick property that developed as townhomes. So it is a private street and maintained. And the timing of that would be, like I said, is it's the last phase of the renovations that are ongoing right now. So the timing of paving that road is not dependent upon annexation, PAD, anything. It's part of the renovations that are already happening so soon. Andrew? Let me unmute him. There we go.
Good evening. Everybody hear me?
Yes.
Thanks, Commissioner Gamble and the commission. Thanks for your time tonight and everybody else, all the neighbors for their comments. I think Linda answered most of the questions. I will say that to answer the question, yes, the bed tax that Oral Valley will be gaining is being Pima County will be losing. And so that will start if the annexation is approved. I believe it's about a quarter that afterwards it'll start that process. And as Linda mentioned, you know, the paving the road is part of the renovation project. It's already been budgeted. It's we already have a contractor all ready to go. We're entering the final phase of our $12 million renovation, and we're renovating our guest rooms, hoping to finish that in February or March. And then right after that, we'll pave the road. As it was mentioned earlier, it just doesn't make any sense to pave that now because we still have quite a few heavy trucks. So we're actually patching it, which is not a long-term solution, but that has nothing to do with the at all the annexation, and that's going to be done as soon as renovation is done. And Linda, was there any other questions?
I think that was it.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry.
Get them all, Chair Gamble?
Yeah, just to verify again, we have absolutely no plans to do anything right away.
Yes, thank you.
You know, we haven't lined up anybody. This is something we've been working on with Oral Valley over the last 3 or 4 years at their request, and obviously we've agreed to it. But there are no plans to do anything. And obviously, definitely not during this year or Dr. Patel has, as somebody mentioned, he's got several hotels and all across the country and unfortunately none of them are doing well. So, it's not really on his, top of his list to go into another development when economically it's probably not prudent. When that will be, you know, I can't say. I can just say that because honestly, we don't know. But it's not going to happen, over the next few years. I can tell you that much.
All right.
Thank you. Any other questions while I'm here?
Thank you. And I will add to that green space. Oral Valley loves its green space. And I think you will have anybody who wants to change that will have an extremely hard time. Getting that through.
Well, and also, if I could add, just realistically, we're a resort and we don't want to develop everything around the resort so that there is no open space. That honestly, that would, our core business will always remain to be a resort. And so everything that we do, whether it's keeping the open space open or whether it's making the whatever development happens down there, if this is approved, making it aesthetically pleasing. It's our core business is the resort. Last thing we want is people to drive up Westward Look and drive by something that is not aesthetically pleasing, that doesn't fit with the whole concept of how, you know, of our core business is resort. So I mean, that's our thinking behind it. And as far as the open space, we're trying to keep it as tight as possible. We're putting in the PAD that we're not going to develop it, which we feel goes farther than the private agreement. And as Linda mentioned earlier, even the private deed, we could build a golf course if we want it. We're taking that out. We don't want to do that. We want to keep it open space, and so that our guests can enjoy that, whether it's a horseback riding or the several trails that go through there. So thank you very much for your time.
All right, no problem. Thank you. All right, Mr. Rowley, There we go.
Yeah. Hello? That's okay. I was just trying to follow your closing statement, but I decided I'll just go ahead and just play back the recording to get the clarification I was hoping to get.
Oh, my closing statement?
Yeah, what you were saying at the end, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I do hope they look into...
No problem. If I have any questions, I'll just go ahead and email. Simple enough.
Oh, perfect. All right. Thank you so much. Okay, so I am now going to... I don't see any other hands. I don't think we have any other questions. And this was just a discussion for tonight. So I am going to close this agenda item and move on to the next. Ms. Ancona, can you please read our third agenda item?
Election of the chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission effective January 6, 2021.
All right. Mr. Spaeth, how would you like to handle this?
Chair Gamble, I can certainly defer to Mr. Andrews, but I think we'll just entertain a motion on who should be vice chair and we can vote on it.
First, we take a nomination for who will be the chair, and you can move from there. The chair, I think, is first,
sure.
And then the vice chair is second.
Sorry, I got that backwards. Sorry.
Mike's trying to skip us to number four. He's in a hurry. I'm sorry.
I know. It's getting late.
What you do is you take a motion and you vote on it, and that normally takes care of itself unless something goes sideways, and that's why I'm here to help if it does.
Thank you. All right. So I will entertain a motion for... the upcoming year's chair. Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, Chair Gamble. I'd like to nominate you as chair for this coming year.
Well, thank you. Is there a second? Mr. Harrington, or Vice Chair Harrington? There we go.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Ms. Ancona, could we please do a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Another year of Zoom. Oh, hopefully not. Hopefully not. All right. Ms. Ancona, can you please read out our fourth agenda item?
Election of the vice chair for the Planning and Zoning Commission effective January 6, 2021.
All right. So I will ask for a nomination for the vice chair now. Commissioner Bergsma.
Well, I will stay with the same slate and again nominate Vice Chair Harrington as vice chair for the coming year.
All right. And Commissioner Posey, will you second?
Yes, absolutely. I want to second that.
All right. Ms. Ancona, could we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. So I'm going to now turn the time over to Mr. Spaeth for the planning update.
Yes. Hello again, Chair, members of the Commission. Congratulations on your re-election, both Chair and Vice Chair. I did want to let the Commission know that we do have a new Commissioner who is filling Commissioner Hurst's vacated position. His name is Bob Henderson. He was out of town for this meeting, but he did attend the site visit on Monday. Hard to believe that was only yesterday. Seemed like a week ago. And so he's certainly up to speed on the project, and of course will be with us on February's meeting. I believe, if Vice Chair Harrington was the only one who had the pleasure of actually running into him there. So he's got a leg up on you guys, but he'll be seated next month. He was confirmed by town council during the December 30th special session of council. So we'll be full up once again. That's exciting. I did want to let you know that Community Academy is going to be virtual this year, of course, as Zoom, as Ms. Gamble alluded to. You can certainly register online, and we encourage anybody who hasn't taken it yet to do so, or if you're just interested. We definitely have a little bit of different variety of topics that we've done, plus some of us who shall remain nameless had to shoot a video for it. So, you know, if you want a good chuckle, you might go take a look at some of those. Not going to tell you which one, though. But we can certainly, I guess I should read these to you because Gina gave them to me. So the first topic is going to be an overview of town governance. The second is history of Oro Valley, which is always a fun one. Then we'll get into town growth, trends, annexation, things of that nature, which is very informative for the commission, of course. Traffic, roadways, and transportation planning, an integrative parks and recreation strategy, town water resource planning, which is obviously very important. Zoning 101, the development review process and public input. And then, of course, we'll have graduation at town council in March. So the first video will be up on February 4th. So if you're interested in viewing those, please sign up online. We will be holding a, we're contemplating possibly holding a study and training session later in January covering some of these topics, specifically the growth trends and some of the other research that our department and other departments have been putting together recently for some of the big projects that we've had. So stay tuned. Obviously, as was alluded to in my presentation, so far in February 2nd, the only item on the agenda at this moment is the public hearing number 2 for the Westward Look Resort development applications. So thank you very much, Chair Gamble.
All right. Thank you. And if I could have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. And a second?
I'll second.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye.
Yeah.